Welcome to Two Girls with Grief Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want to support family or friends dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn. Welcome to episode 8, which is kind of, we had a two-parter, but it is our official 8th episode, which is Stuck and Stagnant, How to Get Out of the Grip of Grief. As always, for any potential triggers, please check the episode show notes prior to listening.
Like every episode, Rachel, like we start off, where are you today with your grief?
Well, we just finished our book club episode, and I think I feel good today. The sun's out, and I always appreciate a good sunny day in San Francisco, but dang, that book really slapped me across the face a few times with just memories and going down memory lane with different hard parts of grief experiences. But besides that, I was crying last night because I finished the chapters last night. Forever a procrastinator with reading, but what it's due, I always procrastinate. But man, yeah, I was crying yesterday, definitely through so many parts of those chapters. But today I feel good. The sun's out. It is that time of the month, so potentially more emotional. We'll see. But that, other than that, it's a good day. What about you?
Yeah, I think reading the book is dredging up a lot of stuff that you think that you've buried, and but for me, I think it's healing to feel those again and reanalyze things with some distance and time in between and see, I don't know, in a different perspective as someone else's experiences. So yeah, a little bit more weighed down. In Texas, it's like 90 degrees, which is like fall time for us. and so I could tell it's getting a little cooler, and you know, fall always indicates like all the holidays that are coming up and you know, the heavy days are ahead, but it's been good. I've appreciated it. The sun is out as well here. A little warmer, as you know, I was like sweating at the beginning of this episode. But that's every day. So yeah, not too bad.
And another thing we like to do is share our credentials to talk about this topic. So this topic is about being stuck in your grief and how to get out of that feeling of just being stuck in your feelings with just kind of the darkness of grief. So my credentials are that I had lost my dad and my sister and my mom. And it was like they all passed away in about 2 years or less of each other. So it was a very dark time. And I definitely think I ebbed and flowed through it, like definitely blacked out for some of it. But yeah. And I've definitely felt that stuckness in grief. And I think it's fairly recent that I feel like I have been able to be very, very proactive about it, be very real about it, be very honest about my grief to even myself. So we thought this episode was important because it's so easy to get stuck in your grief and not even realize sometimes just how stuck you are in it. Yeah. Because you're just trying to survive. And we want to share things that helped us as well. And of course, we're not professionals. These are things that just helped us that might help you. I don't know if we talked about it before, but we talk about like trying unconventional things for your grief. And I think that's kind of also part of this episode as well, because you never know what's going to work. Yeah. And if nothing has worked so far that you've tried, we're going to share some ideas and some of our experiences that hopefully maybe something that we have done or tried or failed at or will help you, because you never know. Everyone's different. So I think this episode will be interesting because you never know what's going to help you. What are your credentials to speak on this, Kendall?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I didn't realize when I was stuck, because you don't see it when you are. I've kind of mentioned before, I took kind of this other approach of like really leaning into my grief. And that's probably why I read really odd books. I know a lot of people try to avoid grieving and trying to confront the loss and their feelings with that. And I think sometimes that leads to feeling stuck in grief. I took a different approach of like leaning deep into it. And I think that led me to just a different side of being stuck in grief. So, yeah, that's where I kind of am. But you've had so much grief. And so, and for a much longer period as well, how does it feel like when you are stuck in grief? And what does that look like physically and emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything in between?
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of feeling stuck in grief really just feels like life is a blur. Like time has passed and you don't know what's happened. You know, you're just kind of going through the motions. And I think for manifesting physically, emotionally, mentally, things for me, like just not taking care of myself, like definitely not thinking about, you know, working out or eating properly or doing anything to like take care of myself or really check in how I'm doing mentally. I think I mentioned before, like I feel like I was in denial of that. This is my story. This is such a, yeah. This is where my life is going. You know, you don't expect that you're going to go through. Because really, like, my sister had been sick before. So it was, like, really, like, 8 years of just, like, crap, sickness and death. And you don't really think about just the toll it takes on you. And there's just so many times that I, like, gained a lot of weight. And it's so easy to figure out ways to be, like, I deserve this. I don't need to take care of myself. You don't even think about just how you're letting yourself not be the center of your life. Because also when people are sick or passing away, you're not kind of the center of your life, you know, because you're helping other people, there's caretaking. So I think for me, it was really where you just realize like the world is spinning and you're still not moving. And you realize, wow, I'm not taking care of my body, my soul. I just feel like I don't have things that I'm looking forward to or that are bringing me joy or that I feel passionate about anymore. I think that's for me how I felt really stuck in grief. And I don't know, did you ask what signs?
No, but what are the signs?
So for the signs, honestly, I feel like, I don't know, there aren't clear signs. I think that can be very different for everyone. I think for me, one day I was just thinking, when is that like a crock of shit? Like everything that's happened is like, that is crazy. And I think one day I just realized, yes, I'm strong for being able to handle everything. But I realized, why not if I just give myself the permission to just be sad about it and just be like, acknowledge that this is like an incredibly shitty and hard thing that life has dealt me. Yeah. And I think for me, it was thinking like, what do I really need in this life? And starting to think about that, because I think just like one day I was like, I feel like life is speeding by and I'm not appreciating the moments. And so I think it was just at some point, I kind of feel like I was like fed up with kind of running away from feeling the grief and being in denial. But like losing that many people, it really changes everything. It takes so much from you. So I think for me, it's just one day I was like, I have enough of just not feeling like the center of my life anymore.
Yeah.
And one day it just hit me, and it wasn't that soon. So it was probably ish years after my mom passed, and she's the last person passed away. So it definitely took a lot of time, but I think I was just trying to function and not thinking about really thriving in my own life, which is hard to sometimes even think about when you're like, how can I even feel like I'm thriving in this kind of life story? But yeah, I don't know what the clear signs would be for people, but I think for one day I just was like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? Like, what do I want? And I think that was, I just had a realization one day, and I don't know that there was like a clear moment, but it just, one day it just hit me. But what about you? Like, what do you feel, what does it feel like to you to be stuck in grief?
Yeah, it's very, I think it's easier to identify on other people than it is to identify in yourself. Because it does kind of take, I don't know, like a wake-up call or something to realize like, oh, I am so consumed by this and I don't know how to dig myself out of this hole that I'm in. I think like it feels like a lot of, and this is not in a literal sense, this is definitely in a metaphorical sense of like, it feels like it's always gray skies. And obviously that's going to come hand in hand with grieving and trying to figure out how to move on from loss. But I think when it's gone on for a really long time and you're like, I used to not feel like this. I used to not feel about like this about things that I loved or things that I missed doing. that's when you can kind of like realize or have kind of maybe like a self-dialogue of like, am I ready to take some actions to get myself out of this place? Because it is possible. I know for so many people, if they feel like it's impossible, but it's not going to happen overnight. I think that's the other thing. People think like magically you're just good with grief, and it's not. It's tiny little things, like tiny little practices every day, I think, that help you get to, because then you look back after a certain amount of time and you're like, okay, I'm handling my grief a lot better than I did initially.
Yeah. I think another thing that may have been a sign was, I think, just looking at old photos and you see the smile you had before and you're like, do I still smile wholeheartedly now? And I still don't know if I do. I don't have the answer if you feel that like same level of like joy.
Yeah.
Because like we've mentioned before, like joy and sadness, they're intertwined, because then you like, it's so easy to be like, okay, who's not here, or like who you want to share with isn't here. So it's so, they're so intertwined that it's like, even if you feel that kind of level, it's like there's that tinge of like sadness.
Yeah.
So I think that was also something where I was like, am I even reaching close to that level of joy? Am I bringing that kind of stuff to myself? Those moments where it was maybe a sign for myself of like, wow, that feels like such a whole, like a different person, a different lifetime. But I'm still living, so what should my life look like today?
Yeah.
But what are some common roadblocks that you have seen or even felt yourself that keep people stuck in grief?
I think one that I keep hearing over and over again from so many people who are grieving is that they feel like any steps towards healing or any moments of feeling happiness is an insult to the person they love. And it does take a long time to get to a mindset of like, the people you have lost would want you to be happy. And so you should try to work on that healing on almost in their honor, on their behalf. But that is, it's a mindset you do not have at the beginning. Because I think a lot of people think, I am doing them an honor to grieve them every second of every day. That's how I felt. I felt like any expression of happiness or joy was an insult to my father's like life, just because I'm like, everyone should be sad about this. This isn't, we shouldn't be moving on. Everyone needs to be grieving him like I am. But it's definitely not a healthy mindset. It's definitely not a, it's not a true mindset either. I think for most of us, I understand there's complicated relationships out there, but I think for most of us, losing that loved one that you're grieving, they wouldn't want you to, would want you to be so sad and to feel like you are obligated to being sad in your grief. And obviously grief and sadness are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. They go hand in hand, but you can be grieving and you can still experience moments of joy too. And you should be allowed to, you should be allowed to feel happy. You should be allowed to go out there. It does not mean that it's dishonoring people that you love. But it's a mindset you really do have to work on. It doesn't come to you naturally. So that's one roadblock that I see a lot and I hear from a lot of people, and I see it in like the community that we're a part of on Instagram. You know, we talk about that. I talk about that in the support group. I hear it with my own family. So it's something I think that is very apparent for a lot of people. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I think one I'd say is self-isolating. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the episode, but I think kind of one thing I will mention is I think it's very easy to isolate because you're feeling sad during the time. And I think that really kind of gets you in that mindset of, this is the worst, like my opinion is the worst in the world. And I think it's very easy to kind of get into that comparing other people's grief and kind of staying in anger because you're just staying with your own thoughts. And I think when you're sad and you're grieving, it can really fester and it can really take you to an angry place. I think sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, of just, you know, being that happiness, I think when people hate that saying, like they would want you to be happy, I think it's because you don't want to hear that because it's so hard to feel happy, especially and right after they're passed away. I think that's where people get very upset when people say that. But I think at the end of the day, that is just a true statement. I don't know that it's helpful for someone to tell you that necessarily right. or not.
You have to come to it on your own terms.
Yeah, I feel like you have to come, that's something you do have to come to on your own terms and accept, like, they would want you to be happy and you have to know it and feel that, because someone telling you that is not going to be helpful, because
right.
at the end of the day, I think you know that, but do you, you're not at that point.
Yeah.
To get there.
It's hard. It is not easy at all. It is very difficult to do, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think another thing is probably just, I'd say it's like denial, which I experienced a lot of, kind of just denying how impactful loss is. But I think mm-hmm. also because Western culture is very put it in a box, move forward, get back to your life, that I think as people, we also are trained to think that's how you should deal with it, when in the reality that's so far from the truth.
Yeah,
it's such a hard situation. Like, you never recover from grief. It's just always with you from now on. But because we're taught that, it's just like you get, like, I think sometimes it's like 3 days off and you just go back, you know, and it's like you haven't even dealt with anything, and there's yeah. so much things that deal, like, that happen after someone passes away, that before you even have time to deal with them being gone, you have to deal with, like, paperwork and all that stuff. So I think yeah. part of it is, like, denial, but also just getting over, like, being able to question what is the actual process and what do you actually need, because it's not what you're taught. And everyone's different, so you have to figure out, like, what works for you. I think part of it is just you're being pressured to be over it. So how are you going to deal with something if you have to go back to life and not actually process it and figure it out? So I think that's probably another really big roadblock for people, is just they can't process it. They can't be sad when they need to be sad. They have to be happy again.
Yeah.
And they have to be back entering the world again really quickly. So I think when you do that, you don't, you're just a shell of yourself. So yeah. You can't deal with it. So I think that is a really hard part of it, for sure.
And I think when, like, we talk about roadblocks, I think when we societally talk about roadblocks, we're talking about it in, like, a negative way. And there's something to be said about your life has just changed dramatically. You know, depending on the person you lost, that's going to add so much context. Depending on how you lost them, that's another level of context that's making a roadblock even more difficult. And I think, like, it is okay to sit at a roadblock for a while and be like, this is the only stability I have right now, is this whatever, and I need to process where I'm at right now, and if I just need this stability in this time, I think it's okay. You do not have to, like, keep pushing yourself every step every day. Like, you literally have to, I think, be very aware of yourself and your own emotions and your own handle of the situation to know at what pace you can push yourself. I think we'll talk about, like, later on the episode, like, I pushed myself at a pace that was probably not healthy for me, because I thought I could accelerate my grieving to be faster than it actually was. I wish someone told me, like, hey, it's okay to sit at this roadblock. It's okay to feel stuck in this. You do not have to keep pushing yourself to heal every second of every day. Like, no one should ask that of you, and no one should, unless it's, like, actually harmful to yourself or others. But other than that, like, understand you can go at your own pace. There's no deadline. There's no due date. You know, this is going to be a thing we work on our entire lives. Might as well go at the pace you're comfortable with. So, Rachel, what are some effective strategies that you think are good for breaking free of grief? Are there any steps that you take, or techniques that you know of that are helpful? What do you think about that?
I think for that, I think it's a complex question. I think it's going to be different for everybody. But I think a lot, or things that can be helpful, is really just to break up your routine. I think sometimes you get into a routine of, like, how can I just keep moving? Mm-hmm. And how can I just get back to life, when you just feel very empty doing that?
Yeah.
And I think things that make you feel better, and because you're never over grief, you're never done with grief. Right. It's not like you just hit a chapter and you're like, okay, close the book, I did everything I need to do. It's always with you. So I think really things that you have to do is reevaluate your life in a lot of ways and figure out what is actually important to you and what can bring you joy back in your life? What can make your life start to feel good again? Because it's really hard. I always say it's like when you, like, you have a circle, and when you lose someone, it's like you lose a huge chunk of yourself, of so much stuff. Like, so much is gone when you lose someone that's really close to you. And then you have that whole emptiness. So you're trying to, like, go through life, and you have chunks of you missing. And so much is tied with those things that you lost that it's really hard. And you're not yourself anymore. And you're not the person you were before grief. So you're just kind of rolling around, and you're trying to just live life. When in reality, you kind of have to shake that up, and you have to realize there's no returning to a life, because that life is different now. Everything's different now. And you're not going to feel, I think, at least in my opinion, you're not going to feel whole or happy going back to the life without having to reevaluate things, because you're different. A lot of, you see things differently. There's just a lot of changes. So you figure out, like, what is going to make my life happy now? I think that's a lot of it. It's like you're trying to return to a life that it doesn't exist. So I think it's really just taking time to evaluate, like, what is my new world going to look like, and what can I do to make it still happy? I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is you have to accept that to even start to have any movement, positive movement with your grief, in my experience. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love what she said. It reminded me of, I don't know if it was a TikTok video or an Instagram reel, but if I find her again, we can credit her. But she says, like, you don't know what's going to help your grief until you do it. So try everything. She gives some examples. She's like, I was not a candy person. Now I eat candy all the time. She's like, I was not a movie person. And now I go to the movies by myself. And she's like, you don't know what's going to work for your grief until you do it. And I really like that, because that was not a mindset I had. I thought I only had a limited amount of tools that I could do for it. And I wish someone told me back then, you're now experiencing life in a very different way. And so what is the harm in trying everything you can to figure out how to take one step forward? The more obvious approaches, it took me about maybe 4 months, 5 months after my dad passed for me to get myself into therapy. For some reason, I thought, I can do this by myself. I know myself well enough. I can, well, to say gently, like, bullshit, I was going through something I'd never gone through before, and thinking that I could emotionally handle this new reality I was living in, to figure out that I wasn't doing things really well. And also to find out that I tested really high for severe depression, and they're like, antidepressants might be something you should try. And if you had asked me before my dad's loss, I'd be like, I'm never doing antidepressants. Like, I don't need that. That's for different type of people. I was that low of a place where I needed antidepressants. And for me, it was like night and day. I know it's very different for many people. I do say you kind of have to, like, do your research, ask a lot of questions, know if that is an appropriate approach for you. I could say for myself and my own experience, it was helpful for me to just start caring about living again, because I felt so stuck in grief that I didn't care about anything anymore. Nothing mattered. And that's very scary. That's very scary when you start realizing that you don't have passion for anything. You don't love anything anymore. Nothing. You don't have no outlook towards the future. And at least being on medication for a while helped me realize, like, no, I do want to have plans for my future. I do want to be a good sister to my siblings. I do want to live a life that my dad would be proud of. So it gave me, I feel like, a jump start to kind of just, like, kick myself into gear. And like I said, maybe not for everybody, and that's fine. But for me, it was helpful to at least, I think, begin an appropriate approach to actually figuring out how to heal with the grief, rather than me just checking out of life.
Yeah, I will say that one thing, so my dad dealt with severe depression for like as long as I've known him, and I was always kind of helped, like, the caregiver, in sense of, like, when he needed support, and then, like, later on in different health instances. But seeing him experience severe depression and just kind of the seeing everything that he missed, how it affected his health, affected his self-worth, all these sort of things. Just growing up with that taught me, it kind of gave me the tools of like, I never want to be in that place.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, it helped me deal with grief because I was always able to catch myself. So if I ever felt like I was getting in a pattern of just like not doing anything or whatever, I recognized it right away. I was like, I can't do this. And so sometimes it's like you just need to clean your room. And granted, it's different for everybody, right? Like some people, it's very deep. But for me, it was like, oh, I need to get up. I need to get outside. I need to just change something.
Yeah.
And things like I wish that my dad had tried or do. And I don't know how bad his depression was. And I don't know, like maybe the new like diabetes drug stuff would have really changed his life. But because of just seeing that, I have always been good at not getting stuck, at least in like that. So I always was like moving forward, not necessarily in a very like I'm dealing with my grief way, but I was always moving forward in other things. Mm-hmm. So like I always still had something to look forward to. I still was very proactive with different things, but it wasn't like, I don't think I fully accepted just like the way grief had on me. There were days I was eating with my sister when she passed away and stuff like that, but there was something always in the back of my head, even in the like the saddest of the sad moments, that I was like, I can't just stay here. Mm-hmm. And it was because of seeing my dad like suffer from severe depression that I was like, I can't end up like that. That like it somehow helped me, like it slapped me after like short periods of time. I'd be like, no, I need to do something. So that was oddly helpful. I'm just like, I can't end up like that. I just see like how I wished his life played out differently. In so many ways that it was a good, always back of my head reminder, like, Rachel, get up. Rachel, your room is a mess. Clean it right now. Like, you know, it was always a good reminder of like, do not let that be how your story turns out because of the things that happened to you. Because I always wish my dad had processed things and whatever was making him sad. I always wish that he'd done a better job of that, because every life is worth living and and seeing out your potential. So I always thought that. But, you know, it's hard because it's something that challenges you all the time, especially if it gets really sad. And I always see stories of people saying, like, just letting themselves just hit the bottom, rock bottom of lows, and just letting everything go. And sometimes I'm like, should I just let that happen at some point, where you just like gives zero shits about the world, about anything? And I've just never been able to do that. But I always wonder, like, I feel like I definitely deserve that ability to just have been like, fuck all of this and whatever. But yeah, it is one of those things where that was always back of my head, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard because sometimes you're like, I wish I just did. But I think we even talked about before of how sometimes you just wish you weren't the type of people that cared about other people at all or for anything like that. Yeah. And just not those people. I always say like I'm anti-depression, but it's not like I'm anti-dealing with depression or having people with depression. There's a feeling that I don't know if it's my dad's ghost. I'm like, no. Like, stop it. Change something. That I'm like, I can't stay in that. But yeah, I definitely have been stuck, just not that, like, in that way completely. Because, yeah, I don't know if it's my dad trying to help me not repeat what he did. But I've always thought, like, somehow he's helped me through that.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't able to do it, that inspired me in weird ways. But how, like, in your point of view, what are things that we can do to, like, shift our mindset and perspective to overcome grief? Like, what are some helpful patterns or, like, affirmations?
I think, like, the sooner you realize this is not going to be something you get over, not the easier it becomes, but it's something you realize, like, okay, there's no finish line. I just have to find ways to live with it. And fortunately, like, someone had told me that before my dad's passing, and that was very helpful to realize, like, I'm not going to reach this euphoria or this end journey of being like, oh, I did it and I'm healed and I'm all well again. That's never going to be possible. So I think channeling your idea about grief, especially not to brag on your behalf that you're like an expert at grieving, but for people who are new to this, they have no concept of what this feels like until they're in it. And I would say, you know, if that's something you could swallow that hard pill now of like, not only are you going to go through your first loss and it's going to be very difficult to comprehend, you're going to go through more. That's the unfortunate inevitability of having family and friends and loved ones. Of you're going to watch people pass the older you become. And this, I think, like the sooner you understand, like you can't get rid of it, you're going to live with it. Is good. Some thought patterns or affirmations. I think when I was in the thick of it and the worst of it, telling myself like, you don't have to be your 100% self today. If you're just doing 1%, I'm proud of myself. Because sometimes when you're that stuck and you're that deep in the pit of grief, just telling yourself like, hey, if I can brush my hair, if I can take a shower, if I can do the bare minimum, snaps to that. And then I think like, as you kind of gain some more, I don't know, support within yourself around grief, then you could be like, well, I'm going to try and get out of the house, or I'm going to try and get groceries, or I'm going to try and have dinner with a friend. But that's going to take time. That's not going to happen immediately. I think you and I both have come to understanding that it's a very slow process. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I think, like you said, like, you don't have to change. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, everything changes. I think it's really just deciding every morning this week, I'm going to go take a walk. That's why we post, like, Sunday resets, because I think no matter where you are, what you're feeling, you can always restart. You can always change something. Like, it doesn't matter what happened last week or the past. You always have the opportunity to restart what you're feeling, you know. Yeah. Change. You can always, like, there's always opportunity to change and grow. So I believe that so strongly. And I think it's like, sometimes you just need to do that one thing that might change everything, right? So it could be every day you do that walk, every day you get ready, every, you know, you work out 7 days a week. And maybe that's not like hardcore, but maybe it's like a little jog, or, you know, you do yoga or something, you know, something that you just feel like you're taking care of yourself and you're switching something. It could be that you're finding a new hobby. Like, you can do little things that switch it up that actually make a huge change. And that's kind of like we talked about that Instagram that you talked about trying something you haven't tried, and how we've talked about like trying something unconventional for your grief is like another way we worded it. It's like, you don't know what's going to help or like be the game changer and kind of bring joy back to your life and bring passion to your life. So I think that's super important, just to try things and know that like a little change is still a good thing. Like, even if it's just like a little turn on the knob of feeling good, like that's okay. It's not a quick thing. And I think for like affirmations, I'm kind of in the mindset of now, I'm like, life can still be good. I am trying to kind of wake up the mindset and say like, I can still bring up positive things. I can still feel that like lucky girl syndrome. I can still, good things are still going to happen in my life. And I still believe I can welcome in good things, and good things are going to keep coming if I'm also pouring, you know, goodness into the world. And I think that's important. So just allowing, not just thinking like, oh, so many crappy things have happened, you know, this life sucks. I think it's really being like, okay, well, how can I make my life better? Like, what is going to bring me that passion, and what kind of good things can I welcome into my life that are missing? I think that's stuff that I try to do. So like every morning this week, that's something I'll probably say to myself in the morning is how can I welcome good things to my life and welcome opportunities? I think that's always good, because sometimes it's hard to think about that when so much bad has happened. You don't think there's still good things in the world and in life, but I think it's really sad when you can't get back to thinking that life can be good too. Yeah. And then there's like kind of like a balance.
Yeah.
Like, not to take for granted, like, that is a really hard thing to overcome, for sure. It's when you lose people, nothing feels good.
Yeah.
At all. And I just can't imagine. Well, I mean, I can, unfortunately. But... I think it's also like when you're like nothing can get worse and it does get worse. That's also hard. Yeah. It's really a mind fuck, honestly, because like I said, like if you need you need to be optimistic, you need to have hope, but it is hard when things keep happening that deter you or that bring you down. It's not like you deal with that in a box and nothing else bad can happen. I feel like I take for granted sometimes like manifestation and kind of those affirmations, but I think it's super important because there's so many things you don't have control over, but you can at least try to take as much of control of your mindset.
Yeah.
And where your life is going, because
yeah,
grief and loss, you don't have control over, but where you take things and how you direct your life from there, that's what you have control over. So I think it's really important to like get yourself in that mindset every morning, because mm-hmm. every day you have the opportunity to make a difference. Every day you have the opportunity to accomplish things that you didn't think you could. So I think it's really important to kind of set that mindset every day.
Yeah. I wish an affirmation that someone told me would be like, you can be happy and sad at the same time. If you haven't gone yeah. through this before, you don't think that's possible. But when you are grieving, that is a weird reality you do live yeah. in. And that's okay. It is okay
yeah.
to be sad in your happiness and happy in your sadness. And those are going to coexist, and that's okay. I think sometimes we think we have to be extremes of one or the other, but and the reality is they're going to be weirdly intertwined.
Yeah. I mean, I think just seeing alone how often we laugh and we cry, and that's yeah. like in our tagline, but like there's sometimes you see us like either crying or on the brink of tears, and then we yeah. switch to laughing, and that's really just what grief is, right? You need that kind of, that mix of, even if things are really sad sometimes, like you still need that laughter and you still need that joy. And so hopefully even in the episodes, you can see that we kind of go through all those emotions just in each episode.
Right. So we kind of mentioned strategies. What role does self-care play in overcoming grief? And then how can we prioritize our physical and our mental well-being in this time?
Yeah, I think sometimes we downplay self-care and how important it is and just how much it can help you.
Yeah.
Like little things you don't think about, just like maybe you actually do need a massage. And honestly, I think grief stays in your body. And I do think massages are really great for kind of releasing that tension from your body.
Yeah.
You know, it could be journaling. We just posted a journaling prompt, and we're going to start sharing our actual journey, our journal prompts from that as well. So stay tuned for that. But I think sometimes it's the things that you think are silly because it's like, oh, it's self-care. But are the things that actually are just you taking time for yourself and prioritizing yourself, and that actually puts you in a good mindset. Because I used to think journaling doesn't matter. And sometimes I think journaling is so good because it makes you confront things that you're feeling and put it yeah. to pen to paper. I always had a hard time journaling growing up because I always thought like, oh, if someone finds my journal, they're gonna see like my deepest, darkest thoughts. So I always ripped out my journal pages and then just like ripped it up. Yeah, like I wouldn't want to be a friend. And I think it's okay to just accept. Not that I wouldn't want someone to find my journal anyway, because I feel like that's intrusive, but just being okay with the thoughts that you have mm-hmm. and like just being real with yourself, because sometimes you just need to, it's like, you don't want to say like, oh, I want XYZ or this is what I strive for. Sometimes it's like you feel embarrassed to even just put that pen to paper or to think about like how great your life could be. It's like, oh, it's silly to dream. It's never silly to dream. Like it's silly right. to stop mm-hmm. dreaming. You know, I think you have to always want your life to be as magical as possible. Like I'm kind of in this mindset right now where like, I need to chase those magical moments, because it's like, you only think that magical moments exist when you're a child. Like we only focus about that. We only focus about like as a child that things need to feel magical, but why do we take that magic and joy away from ourselves as adults? Because like, yeah. not that children don't ever experience hard things, but shit just gets harder as you get older.
Yeah.
Especially like when you're dealing with grief. It's like, why do we take away those magical moments? Why do we stop focusing on those things that bring us joy? And that's a lot of like self-care, is like finding that stuff that brings you joy. And whether it's journaling, taking the time to actually, you know, meditate or do massage or work out, like whatever kind of brings you back to a good state. I think it's so important. But I think what happens sometimes with grief is like you let yourself go in a way that you aren't okay with, because you maybe aren't like doing your skincare, you aren't working out, you're not eating healthy, and those aren't habits that you used to have, right? It's just like you being sad, not taking care of yourself in the way that you're not prioritizing like you first. You're not like a center of your world. You're focusing on other things and just trying to get by. Where I think for me, for sure that happened. Like I wasn't thinking about like my health or priorities, or, and I like working out. I like feeling like I'm eating healthy majority of the time. I do like trying new food and doing stuff like that, but I still like majority of the time eat healthy and work out. And when I'm not doing those things, it's like I know that I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not in the right mindset. So I think for me, I let that happen so many times, like in the grief process, where I'm like, well, that's not who I am. It's not who I like to be. It was just me letting that kind of fall, like not thinking about how that makes me feel. And then it's like when you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, this isn't who I am. It's like I don't even recognize this person. And so self-care is really just figure out like what version of yourself you want and actually committing to that again, because it's so easy to fall out of that and prioritizing yourself. And they're like, really, not that you shouldn't care about other people, but it's like no one is gonna be invested as you're in your happiness and your health as you are. So you have to always think about that and do the things to help yourself. But yeah, I mean, I think I used to think self-care is so silly, but when you're down, when you get down to it, it's so important. There's like nothing else more important than taking care of yourself. But what are your thoughts on self-care and grief?
Yeah, I think it was the same way of like self-care is silly. Who has time for self-care? Who, like, I think we're all like very, I feel like every person I ever talk to is a very busy person and they just have so much on their plate. And so why prioritize something for yourself? Because then it seems selfish. And I think that's like a narrative in our society that it's very conflicting. It's like have self-care, but don't be selfish with your time. And it's like, weirdly, you kind of have to be. I don't think I ever recognized how introverted I was until after my dad passed and I was grieving, because social interactions just like zapped me. I was like so tired and I wasn't ever my best self around my friends. And I think that's when I realized like, oh, I've been trying to pretend to be an extrovert my whole life, to now realize like I need some quiet time to myself to do things that I like. And so once, like, that was one thing I recognized that I needed to build into like my week. My job is very socially extraneous. And so I can tell on those weeks where I'm really like downtrodden and kind of exhausted that I need to have like one night of the week that I just dedicate to reading. And I have noticed like, and it was one of those things was like reading is such a extra thing that I can just throw out because what's the point? It's for fun. But once I realized like I absolutely need to have that day in the week, just if I could do it every night, great, I will. But if it's only one night a week, I have to have that one night a week because I need something to look forward to be like, okay, that's the day for me. And that's a day that makes me my best self to go and do stuff later on, to be my best self at work, to be my best self for my friends. And it wasn't, I don't know, until maybe 2021 when like the world started coming out of COVID a little bit, where everybody was wanting to do stuff all the time. And I was like, I can't. One, I'm just like so just not mentally here to hang out with people. I'm like still in the throes of trying to figure out my life after my dad. But it just was exhausting. And so I had to figure out what that was for me. And right now it's reading. In the spring, it's gardening. Like I have to set time to go outside to like plant something because watching something grow makes me really excited. Like that brings me a lot of joy. And the things that bring you joy should be your top priority to be your best self in all these other aspects of your life. And that's not a selfish thing to want to be your best self, to show up in places. I know in the last episode, we talked about dating and me saying that, like, I think me not being in a relationship right now has helped me reflect a lot about myself and kind of like my strengths and my weaknesses in relationships. And so instead, I spend a lot of time with my family and I spend a lot of time with my friends, and the things that I think I would normally go do on like a date or a place I want to try or a new restaurant, I'm taking those people instead and I'm treating them on dates the way I would. And that's something that gets me really excited as well. But I don't have to like, I feel like divulge so much energy into people that might suck the life out of me. I'm very aware of like, I don't want to say I'm protecting my peace, but I guess I am trying to say that at the same time. So I think that's pretty, I think that hits both physical and mental well-being.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I think, I do think that sometimes protecting your peace for some people has become the complete, like, it's become an extreme in some cases too, because I do think that if you feel the need to cut off somebody, that's fine. Like, that's your choice. That's, it's your life. Some people you don't mesh well. They're not bringing anything good to your life. No matter the situation, that is your decision to make. But I do think the narrative of protecting your peace has become so strong that you've lost all friendships, all relate, you know, like you can lose a lot of important things. I think there's the extreme of doing that because you're like, oh, I want to protect my own mindset. And yes, your joy and your life and your self-care is important, but so are relationships and the people that you meet. And like, that's also important. And not every relationship, friendship is going to be easy. I think you have to find the line of what is worth keeping versus not.
Yeah.
And nothing is going to just be happy go lucky all the time. People, you know, I think there's finding that balance. I do think it's important though, at the essence of it, it should protect your peace and protect your happiness, which is something that I do think is super important, because I think sometimes I'm like, I can't take on everyone's external pain.
Right.
I cannot focus, not that I don't care about what's going on in the world, but I cannot extend myself to be a champion for all these things that are going on in the world all the time, because I have my own pain. Like, if you want to be the warrior for everyone else, that's cool. I support that. But let me be the warrior for myself.
Right.
Because I've been through a lot. Oh. I think that also can lead into like finding your purpose in the face of loss and like finding new meaning. And I think that does change you. And like I said, like it changes like what you care about and what you can focus on. But what are some ways we can kind of redefine our lives after significant loss and grief, in your opinion?
Yeah. One thing that became very prevalent to me was how much meaningless stuff I used to care about before my dad's passing, that I cared about such useless, superfluous type of things. And I felt like now I kind of have a very different view on how I want to live my life and who I want to be in my life. It's kind of like, I feel like I cut a lot of the fluffy stuff off my life to be really focused and zeroed in on the things that really matter. I feel like I spend more intentional and meaningful time with my friends. I feel like we're talking about deeper things and more impactful conversations than ever before, than just because that's where I am in life now. I think before I was just kind of like, not to say I was a silly little girl living a silly little life, but I just wasn't, I didn't care about it. And now I do care about other things. And so I had no problem like very kind of shutting off this part of my life that didn't add to this overall value of what I wanted to understand about the world and people and trying to figure out how do I become a better person through all of this. And one thing, I know you and I have talked about this, like nature became more important to me. Another thing of self-care is like I was adding an intentional time to go hike somewhere in someplace kind of naturey, just because that became more important to me, whereas before it was not important to me at all. And I don't Like, you and I both have talked about how we don't know why nature becomes more important after a loss, but it feels like there's something there. And so, yeah. And then with meaning and purpose, you know, we talked about a little bit of that, I think, in the third episode. I think I wasn't searching too much for a meaning, but I was trying to find like a purpose for my dad's loss. And for years, I was looking for something to do with that. And then I kind of let it go because I was like, oh, nothing's going to work. Nothing I'm looking at is going to give the value or impact of what I would want. And it wasn't until recently this year did me and my brother think of like something we wanted to do around it. And so it took a long time for us to come to that realization. But it also took us realizing like maybe there isn't one. Maybe there isn't something we can do and we just, it'll come in the future. It won't come at all. I think all that to say is we let it find us. You know, we didn't go out trying to seek it. We found the meaning of all that and it came to us and something that we were excited about and something we think that really would signify our dad. But in the same tone, that wasn't our motivation to heal or to pull ourselves out of grief. That was just additional supplemental type of thing that we want to do separately. We all had to find our own path in what our grief looks like separately and on our own terms. I think making sure that you don't tie it with something external is good. You need to make sure it's personal to you, that your walk is at your own pace and that you're doing things that are the best for your loss and your grief. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I think we talked about it before, I think sometimes people think it's easy to kind of cling on to something for someone that's passed away because you're like, yeah, I need their life to have meaning. I think especially for my sister because she passed away pretty young. So I think I was like, there has to be some meaning for her, you know, passing away. There has to be something. And at the end of the day, it's like, sometimes just, it's unfair and it sucks. I do think there's other elements when it's like shocking type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think I have seen people that have found importance and like finding just like meaning through creating a foundation or doing something and maybe found other passions through that. I have seen that. Sometimes maybe you do need that because it's crazy and it affects you in some deep and dark ways. But I think for me, a lot of it has like, I found a lot of meaning from doing the dinner party and like kind of finding a group there. And then through this podcast, I think has been super helpful, not only for me to kind of digest things that I don't think I've always digested. It's kind of, I feel like it's almost kind of like reading Crying in H Mart, the book that we would talk about in our book club. It's kind of like you're going through the different pieces and really taking the time to think about each piece and what has changed you and what has helped and what you need to work on. I think grief is just, it's always there. So you have to be very proactive about it and very just like aware of what it's doing in your life. Cause sometimes it's harder, like going into the holidays. I think I don't know anyone that is grieving that is like all gung ho about
right
holidays. You know, it's always a weird time when you're missing the people you love because it's a very family oriented time. So I think it's, you kind of have to figure out like what gives you meaning. I think even from doing these episodes and people are saying like they really related or they really appreciated different things you talked about, that's also super nice to just hear of people that like us sharing our stories has helped other people, because I think it does feel very lonely. It does feel very hard. So I think these kind of things have created a lot of meaning and purpose in my life. And I think I've just been very much a community person, which is I've been like organizing like volleyball and a cookbook club and different stuff. I think kind of building community has always been something that I've been passionate about as well. So we're kind of creating this grief community and that's been nice too. And seeing other people's stories. So I think there's so much to it, but yeah, I think you kind of need to figure out what is meaningful to you now post grief or post like the loss. Cause there's not after grief, but and then figure out, is it something that I'm truly find meaning for, and this is for me? And sometimes it's like you're doing it for someone else and that's what you need to survive, and if that's what you need, do that. So I think just figuring out, and then just being okay with like, this is what I need to focus on, or for me this is bringing new purpose and meaning that I want to run with that, and see what comes with it. Because I think the grief community has been doing a lot of good things for people that are experiencing grief, and there's always new people that are experiencing grief. I just lost Filipinos, like, we always say like aunt, like you call someone an aunt when they're not. Yeah, but it's like a close family friend that I've known my entire life. And my friend, so I friend the daughter, but also like a family friend. It was unexpected for me. I didn't know. And in hearing kind of a little bit about what happened, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm so sad that she's joining the community, but there's always people that are losing people, and the community just keeps growing, unfortunately, because people are always, there's always just loss going on. And, you know, I think it's such a bad place to be in, and sad place, and that hopefully us sharing our experiences help some people that are joining the community, but are, you know, helping that, and knowing that even if you reach the lows of lows, there are higher points to reach, and that you can still be happy. So I think finding meaning and purpose is an ever-changing journey, but
yeah,
I think you can find it through your grief and figure out like, oh, I can make a positive impact by just actually opening up about what I've been through. I think that's part.
Yeah, and I know we kind of touched a little bit about the importance of support and community and connections with others, but do you have anything else that you want to add about how we can build a network of people to support grievers, and any other additional thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I've talked about people that have lost people and people that haven't, and you're kind of in two different buckets, and I think that is hard. I do hope that people are listening that aren't just grievers, that they are people that want to support other people that are grieving or just learn about it, because I do think that will help bridge the gap. I would say, like, I don't want you to know what it feels like before you actually deal with it, but at least a little bit more empathy, a little bit more understanding on the other side, I think is always great. So I hope people are listening that haven't experienced grief as well, so that they can kind of have a little bit more of support, a little bit more of just something to like help someone that's grieving, or just be there for them, or, you know, anything like that, I think is great. But I think because grief can feel so isolating and alone, I think it's very common to isolate, and you don't realize how nice it is to have people that relate to things, or just by sharing your story might make someone feel less alone in their grief, because if you're around people that don't get it, they make you feel like you're alone in that, or like your feelings are just weird or off.
Yeah.
Because they don't get it at all, or they're just not how they experience grief. I think that is a horrible feeling. So I think finding people that get it and being able to talk about it freely, because I think that was really the big realization of like, they were such important people in my life, still are, and I don't ever talk about them because they don't just come up in everyday life, and they should, because they're still a huge part, and losing them still affects me, you know, every day in some way, big or small. It doesn't make sense that I don't talk about them at all, ever. So I think it is really great to have community and find people that get it and share stories and just feel that connection. Sometimes you want people to hear you. So I think that's super important. But yeah, I think hopefully more people listen to grief podcasts and check out grief resources that haven't experienced it yet, just to help build connection beyond just the people that are grieving and trying to connect with each other. Because I think it's just a huge disconnect, and it's a kind of a hard feeling to feel like none of my friends get it.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. So, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I echo everything you just said. And I think, I know I was, I think I commented something on Instagram to somebody, and like you had shared such a beautiful, transparent story about your loss. And I think I commented, like, you don't owe anybody your story, yet you are so passionate about wanting to make sure that other people can find solace in their loss by sharing yours. And like, what a superpower that is. I think that certainly I would have never thought about starting a podcast. I would have, you know, I know we were in the same training group for the support group, but you've taken it and really grown it into like a community, something like of just a support group, but you made people become friends, you know? And so like the people listening, you might not have like the magical superpower Rachel has to build community in different spaces, but I mean, like Rachel and all the people out there doing this type of stuff and all this work, go and attend what they're planning, go and attend the things that they're creating to support you. You know, I think if you're questioning whether a support group is for you or not, or questioning whether you should like attend a book club, like there's people organizing these things for you, someone like you to go and attend. And even if you don't like it, if it's not for you, then that's okay. But you gave it a shot, right? Like, and what I've seen just in the few months of knowing you is this huge trickle effect of all the work that you've put into helping other people. And I think that's like such, like, it's the beauty of all of this, I think. Like we are now each other's support, like network, yeah, in a way, for each other's grief. And, you know, I see it in support group too. And I see it in these spaces. Like, I'm now more open about talking about my grief in various different spaces. And to find out there's so many other people in the same thing, but we would have never been talking about grief if one of us didn't bring it up, you know? And I think that's the thing, is like, I was telling a lady the other day, the whole reason I even started looking into a grief support group was because I was at book club and one of the ladies lost her mother just recently. And then to find out everybody in the book club had lost their parents. And there was only like five of us, but I realized like, oh, first, I have so much like undealt with grief 4 years out that I still need to deal with. Presumptuous of me to think that I could be cured of my grief in 4 years, but just talking about it with these other ladies in book club, did I realize like this is really nice to talk about grief with other people who have experienced such loss. And that's what led me to looking at joining a grief support group, and that's how I found you, and that's how we started this podcast. And I think of all the people who have emailed and commented and engaged with us on social media and stuff, just saying like how helpful this has been. Like, if you've commented and if you have emailed us, it's really made our day. Like, we share it with each other and we're both like,
yeah,
that is really great. It's really nice to know that this is helpful, that there's people out there that can take something away from this and that we're all like in the same boat together.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like, every like nice comment and people saying that they really like appreciate the episode or really related to an episode has been really nice. And yeah, wouldn't we be joined? I think it was the same thing of like trying something different. Like, what is something I haven't tried? And I was like, I haven't tried a support group. And I tried one and I was like, eh. And then I was like, oh, let me try something else. And then I was like, oh, I still don't see it. So then that's when I signed up for the training. That's where I met you. And I feel like it's all kind of clicked into place, that it's like from there, I'm like, yeah, because I think it was only like maybe two dinner part, like sessions plus the training. And then I was like, oh, do you want to start a podcast? So it was like very early on.
Yeah.
That like, I don't think we had any like too many like one-on-one like very long one-on-one conversations at all before I asked you. I just was like, I just had a sense. I was like, oh, I just feel like this would work. And I think the first time we actually like just talked, we met to talk about it like virtually, because we live in different states, but I think we talked for like 6 hours.
Probably.
It was like a really long time. And I think it's just been really easy since then. But it was like, if we hadn't taken a leap in something else, we wouldn't be in this place.
Yeah.
I do feel like we are creating something special. And I think it's it's been really good. And I think, yeah, I think it's working out really great together. So I think there's just like, try something because you don't know what's going to work and you don't even realize like what will help you or like what parts of yourself you haven't expressed, and trying something different will help kind of bring those parts of you back. So I think, yeah, I think taking that connection support is so important because you never know what, like, oh, it's actually really nice, or wow, I haven't, like, it's so weird because I'm like, I feel like it's like we still haven't known each other that long, but it's like we talk all the time and it's, yeah, it's very, it's like, what was life before? I don't even know because it feels so different just because even like with the podcast, right? Everything feels so different before that. It's like, what was I even doing before that?
Yeah.
You know, without doing the support group and all this stuff. So yeah, everything feels like very different now. And it's like, just try something because you never know where it's going to take you from there. So I think just try it, see connection, and then see what happens, because
yeah,
it's always nice to meet great people. And I think sometimes with grief, you close yourself off from meeting new people and welcoming new people in, and try to fight that because life is about like the people and connections, and that's a hard thing. But so what, kind of wrap it up, what are some signs that you think, or that makes you feel like you're making progress in your grief journey? And like, what are some ways that you celebrate your achievements and milestones in grief?
Yeah, kind of like what we've mentioned before, and even in this one, of like, you do a little bit that should be rewarded. Like, think of that as a win. It doesn't have to be these monumental steps that you have to take. There will be some, and you should absolutely reward that too. But for the little ones that you're doing every day, just that 1% that you're trying to do, like, that's is a step forward. And that's a huge thing, especially when you're like in the thick of grieving and it's hard to get out of bed. And it's like, hey, you brushed your hair. Proud of you. I think one sign to me that I was making progress with my grief was I wasn't canceling plans on people so much anymore. I wasn't being like the flakiest flake of all my friends, because I was, and like I admit that I take full accountability and responsibility that I was a super flake, because I just didn't have it. Like, it was just so all consuming. I also didn't know how to communicate that. So now that, you know, I'm in a place that I can spend more time with friends, and but I'm also proud of myself that I've learned how to communicate that better to people. Like, I'm not ashamed to say, like, it's been a rough week. I'm not going to be a happy person when I showed up. I'm not going to spread that to other people. Also, like, in those times too, I take a chance and I go and do the thing anyways. And sometimes it cheers me up. Sometimes it picks me out of that. Yeah, sometimes it really does help. Sometimes you do the thing that you're not looking forward to, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, this was actually fun. I'm glad I did this. Obviously figure it out at your own pace, but like, I've weirdly learned that recently of like, hey, you might not be in the mood, but if you go anyways, you might have some fun. And so those are a couple things that come to mind for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think that is what you said is part of it. I think me realizing when I'm my roadblock of like, this isn't going to be a good time, this is going to be horrible, whatever. Sometimes you build it up in your head and then you're like, oh, I actually had a great time. It is what I needed. Yeah. The things that I was like getting out of your own head of like, this might not be good. And I think in general, I think you can get in your own head of like, oh, this will be scary, or, you know, even joining something new, right? It's like, oh, this is feeling uncomfortable. What's it going to be like? And you don't know until you like push yourself to do it, and it could actually be something really great. I think even joining a grief support group can feel really scary, and then you can join and not share anything. And I think,
yeah,
that's hard. So I think even for that, I try to like share things so that people share, you know, because it's like, I will overshare so that you feel comfortable sharing something. And, you know, I think sometimes you just need those little things to like feel like you're doing something. But yeah, I think every win is like, you taking care of yourself, doing self-care, you know, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't sound like your life is going to change overnight, but, you know, do something to make yourself look forward to something. I think you should. I don't think we celebrate. I think there's people that celebrate themselves too much, but I think the majority of people don't celebrate themselves enough and celebrate their achievements and milestones. And I definitely think I didn't celebrate or acknowledge the things that I've been through and just how much I had to deal with and how hard it was and all that stuff. And I think something I would try to do more is like acknowledge, well, I do these things. I even acknowledge like I can still be a good person. I can still be kind and I can still care about other people. And just giving myself kudos like when I don't. And also because it's like when you lose the people that give you the most kudos, it's like sometimes you just like forget. Because you don't have the people that were just constantly complimenting you. And I think that's a hard part, but you have to realize, like, I still need that and I need to acknowledge that even if they're not here. And maybe even channel their enthusiasm for you and what you can accomplish. So I think, like every little win, I think for some people, even getting out of bed is a win, right? And you need to acknowledge that. Brushing your teeth is a win. Brushing your hair, getting ready, et cetera, working out. So I think living your life and living it for you as much as possible in happiness, that's a win. Whatever you need to do and whatever stage you're at, do that and celebrate that, because sometimes there's not the people around to celebrate it for you. Like you said, seeking connection and doing that I think is important. So still try to find those people, like the new people, even if you lost people. But yeah, celebrate whatever step you're taking for yourself. Big or small. It could be huge. It could be, you know, it could be the little things like we mentioned. So I think celebrate yourself, bring more magic to your life. I think that's super important.
I literally love that. And I think we should tack that onto our challenge, like have a level one challenge. But if you're ready for level two, then you go on to the next one. So like every episode, we end with a challenge. So the original challenge was to self-evaluate whether you think you're stuck in life or what areas you feel stuck in. If it's fear, if it's trying something new, is it anxiety to go outside your comfort zone? Do you feel just stagnant in depression, or do you just feel like you're just rotting in bed all the time? I think just even acknowledging if you are or where you are is a huge step because it takes a lot of reflection. But if you do know that you're stuck and celebrating your little wins, I think that should be our level two challenge is celebrate the wins when they're happening and create a little magic for your life because you deserve it.
Definitely. Also, I like to note that I feel like the term rotting has become so popular, but in the way that like, oh, I'm just rotting today, like Sunday is rotting. And for some reason, like that term just like does not, I don't like it because I think because when you have family that literally like is gone and like literal term, I think, yes, you need those days to recharge, but that's how I like to think about it. You might need those days where you just recharge and you don't have, you don't think about any responsibilities. You just, and I, in a sense, it's like a self-care day, right? You might just need your day to read or watch TV or just like, I say like lay flat and not like even like recharge. I think that's important. But yeah, I think the rotting term has become so popular. I've seen on TikTok and stuff, and it's just not a term that resonates with me because it's too real. And I'm very anti actual rotting, so I like to think of it as like self-care and recharging. That's just my little rant of too close to home terminology that I don't,
I think, like that much. Is a healthy, positive way to look at that, because you're right, it is kind of just like you need some quiet and you need to be by yourself and you need to be like laying down in bed, and like everybody does that. There's always like a day you need to like nap in bed all day. And I wonder if like rotting is just a weird attribute to like our negative look on actual self-care, because anything positive our society doesn't like for our own individual health. And
like,
so
if you're not being productive part of society, then you're, it's, you must like be a rotting. Negative. And I think people try to use it as like a positive, like I'm kind of in a sense, but I don't know. I'm just like, you need to, if you need a day to just be chill, do that. Like, that is for you. Take care of yourself. And that's a positive. So
we're snaps for that.
Yeah. That's what I think.
And that's Rachel's two cents. Rachel's comedy hour right here. As always, we have resources in the show notes, so you can check those out. And then we have new episodes, new podcast episodes every Tuesday where we feature a topic about grief. But then we also have book club episodes every Monday, so we'll be picking a different book. Currently, we're reading Crying at H Mart, and then when we finish that, we'll be doing another book. So we hope you can chime in for both.
Yeah, and how to join the club. So hopefully, we're hoping that people that haven't experienced grief are also listening in, because I think that's a great way to connect people that are grieving. So we hope that this is reaching grievers and non-grievers. But how you can kind of join our community is you can check our show notes. We'll have our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. But our handle is Two Girls with Grief Pod. We'd love to see comments. We read comments of people that have enjoyed podcasts or different episodes, our different podcast episodes. So we appreciate that. And we'd love to hear your challenges. So please email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. That also will be in the show notes. And as a reminder, grief looks different for everybody. So if nothing we said resonates with you, that's totally fine. We're doing like our grief might be different, so we're not wrong. You're not wrong if it's different. Everybody grieves differently, but like we said, try something different, try something unconventional for yourself, and hopefully that helps. So, thank you everyone for joining our episode 8, which is really kind of 9 because we had a 2-parter. Because we had a lot to say about everything about grief was wrong. But we'll stay tuned for next week's episode. And I hope last week's episode about relationships and grief made some people laugh and hopefully learned some lessons, because that was a lot.
Tea was spilled in episode 7. A lot of tea was spilled.
For sure. So hopefully that was helpful to people, because I shared a lot.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.